Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones is calling for a citywide vote on the city's proposed contribution towards a new downtown Spurs arena and the Sports and Entertainment District. Bexar County voters narrowly approved a $311 million in county funding last November that would go towards that project. And Mayor Jones joins us now to tell us more. And she is also taking your calls. You can call in at 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Mayor Jones, tell us about a second vote for Project Marvel. This is something that you'd want on the November ballot. How would that happen?
Yep, that's right. Well, thanks for the time. Look, I think it's really important that city voters have an opportunity to weigh in on the city's $489 million contribution. As you mentioned, last November was the county's vote on the county's $311 million. But the city's separate contribution, I think, is also deserving of a vote by city voters. I think we can all acknowledge there have been some major changes. I think in particular, the economy, right? Last November, we were not talking about raising property taxes, and now we are with $158 million deficit. We are looking at raising property taxes not just once, but potentially twice if we also want to raise the bond capacity. And, you know, that is top of mind for folks. I've had a couple of listening sessions, as you know, and I think people are really, frankly, anxious about the economy and are certainly looking at major future investments in the context of today's financial reality. They will also, neighbors also bring up the plan has changed, right? There is no longer a land bridge over 37. There's also no longer a 1,000-room hotel, which would have been a significant contributor to the project finance zone, which is, again, those state hotel taxes that the state allowed us to keep as part of this. And I'll be honest with you, I think the thing I also hear a lot about more as of late, just be given the timing, is, for example, what happened with Toyota Field and the delay and the difficulty with getting those monies as a result of an MLS team not being brought to the city. So I think all of that is fair to consider. And I think just ultimately at the end of the day, city voters should have an opportunity to weigh in on the city's $489 million contribution. I'm not sure, I'll be honest with you, I am not sure why some are so scared to hear from city voters on the city's $489 million contribution.
We just heard from Councilmember Galvan. Mm-hmm. He said he's a yes, that he would like to see the vote. Mm-hmm. There have been at least six other council members who have come forward and say they were a no. And the council has to vote and pass on whether or not to put this
by the 17th. That's right.
And so the clock is ticking. Are you having conversations with them?
We're having lots of conversations. As you know, today I'll have another listening session. In District 5 from 6:30 to 7:30. Norm Coyle. Norm Oil, sorry to mispronounce that. But 6:30 to 7:30, and then we'll have another one, Blanco Cafe, on Wednesday. All that's on my social media. But look, I think it's important that folks have an opportunity to weigh in on the city's $489 million contribution. And I have a lot of hope in my colleagues. I think you give people the maximum amount of time to do the right thing and let people vote on their $489 million contribution.
So it narrowly passed. I mean, really, it was very tight in, you know, for the county vote. Mm-hmm. Does that mean, tell you that result tell you that people should have another opportunity to have a say?
I think city voters deserve to have an opportunity to vote on the city's $489 million contribution, regardless of whether the margin in last November for the county's $311 million contribution, if that margin was five votes or 500,000 votes, to me, that is irrelevant. I think city voters deserve an opportunity to weigh in on the city's $489 million contribution, because as you've heard me lay out, a city taxpayer, right, they will contribute because they live in the county. They will contribute to the county's $311 million contribution. They will contribute to the city's $489 million contribution. So that's $800 million right there. On top of, right, the infrastructure bond, the first of that last estimated for the downtown needs, downtown infrastructure needs around the arena, were $220 to $250 million. So that is another, right, contribution that a city taxpayer would make should that bond pass. So there's a lot of ways in which a city taxpayer is contributing, and I think it's only fair that, frankly, voters have more of a say in how their money is spent, not less.
Let's go to a caller, and the number is 833-877-8255. And Carl, you're on The Source with the mayor. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor, for taking my question. What I'd like to find out is why the Spurs new arena and the sports entertainment district are being put together on the vote, and what is the cost for the sports entertainment center itself in developing bars and whatever restaurants in the downtown area near the arena? Because I think we need to look at more green space versus putting up new bars. There's enough space and vacant buildings and spaces available to redevelop the downtown area.
All right, Carl, thank you so much for your question. So, Mary Gina Ortiz-Jones, it does get confusing trying to parse out. Mm-hmm. We got the arena, and then we have the district, the sports entertainment district, and the whole kielbasa. How do we figure all that out?
Well, I mean, to be very clear, the only thing I'm talking about, right, is allowing city voters to vote on the city's $489 million contribution. That's what we're talking about
now. And that goes to the arena.
And that goes to, that's specifically for the arena, correct?
Right. And so.
But I think the point is fair. There is a broader conversation that needs to be had in terms of the kind of downtown that we all want and deserve. I think a key part of that, I think green space is important. I think affordable housing is important. As envisioned right now, though, there is no affordable housing as part of either this plan or even the baseball plan. So I think, you know, a longer conversation certainly is to be had on this. But today, really what I'm encouraging folks, if you want to vote on your on the city's $489 million contribution to the arena, please reach out to your council member. As mentioned, we have to pass an ordinance by August 17th in order to put this on the November ballot. It is anticipated that the term sheet will be final right at the end of the year. So right now it is a non-binding term sheet. I know there's some confusion about that, but this non-binding term sheet. And again, I think, you know, how we explain this to folks is really important. And it's a non-binding term sheet. All that to say, at the end of the day, this is about ensuring city voters, city taxpayers are able to weigh in on the city's $489 million contribution.
All right, we have a voicemail that we want to get on the air about this. Let's give it a listen.
Hello, this is Naomi Nye. I'd like to thank Mayor Jones for calling for the citywide vote. We definitely stand with her as downtown dwellers for 45 years on feeling such a vote is very important. We do not feel the citizens of downtown have had enough chance to express our opinions about the chaos this is going to cause with current traffic and parking issues already existing downtown. It also seems really unreasonable to be spending this much money in a city that has many other more pressing needs than a third stadium. Thank you so much for The Source and all you do. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Naomi.
Can I address something? Thank you, Naomi. There's been a couple of things that have been raised when they're comparing kind of what we're dealing with what other cities have dealt with. I know the example of Oklahoma City has been brought up. And that's a good example because Oklahoma City voters, taxpayers, were able to vote on that contribution. It's a large contribution, but they voted to do that. And so that's, you know, you respect that. But that's a key distinction here, and that's being unfortunately left out of the conversation, that Oklahoma City taxpayers voted to allow that sales tax to go toward the arena. Similarly, on Portland, they're talking about a $600 million renovation to that arena there. As I understand in talking with the mayor there, the state is actually covering half of that, and the city itself is, quote, only, right, on the hook for $120 million. $120 million is much, much less than what a San Antonio city taxpayer is on the hook when it comes to this arena. So I know those things have been thrown around. The other thing I want to make sure I lay flat, the $489 million contribution, the city's $489 million contribution to the Spurs arena, I have not suggested that you could kind of pick that up and attribute and help with the city's deficit. I have not said that. What I have said is the city's contribution, is the economic conditions have changed. And that is something that I hear time and time again from neighbors, and are really then wanting to make sure that we're being as judicious as possible with the future. I think because top of mind for folks, I think on top of the changes that I just described, but I mean, this recent, threat by the governor to go after CPS for me is also a game changer, right? I mean, for those that are watching, CPS is the number one contributor right now to the general fund. And to give folks a sense of what that $14 million means, just in June, CPS's contribution to our general fund was just shy of $38 million. $38 million. And so in my mind, we've got to look, and I know some of my colleagues agree with this, we've got to look at additional revenue streams, which is why I continue to say this, the Spurs deal is an opportunity to look at an additional revenue stream, right? We don't know what's going to happen with CPS. We don't know what's going to happen in the economy. So if you have an opportunity to shore yourself up, why would you not fight for something like revenue sharing to help protect that general fund?
We're going to go to break here. I will get George and Mike on the air. They've called in. If you want to join in, call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I want to ask you a little bit more about Governor Greg Abbott's proposal and what are the ways that City of San Antonio could try to push back on that and what that would mean for trying to privatize the local electricity market. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With us in studio, San Antonio Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. We've been talking about having a second vote that is going to be up to the entirety of the City Council for Project Marvel, for the citizens of San Antonio to have a say. Well, would it be the final say? Would this be the last word on Project Marvel?
I think it very likely would be in terms of, you mean, allowing for a citywide vote?
I mean, if we have the vote and they say, okay, we want it, we don't want it, and Then that's it.
Yeah.
No more.
I think that's right. We're expected to finalize the term sheet at the end of this year. I think the benefit of allowing city taxpayers to weigh in November is they're going to have a really good idea of, one, what they're getting, right, as we continue to negotiate. And let me just say, $75 million over 30 years is only $2.5 million a year. We spend more than that feeding seniors every single year here. We feed about 2,400 seniors every day in our city, $5.87 a meal in 1 year. That's about $3.3 million. So I want to give folks a scale of this community benefits agreement and kind of how it falls into the actual grand scheme of things and things that we pay for each day.
All right, let's go to George. And George, you're on The Source with Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to know if you mentioned that property taxes are going to be going up. If the city were to vote against approving the $489 million, does that mean property taxes are not going to go up?
All right, so, George, thank you for your question.
To be very clear, what I said is last November, we were not talking about raising property taxes. In this now economic environment, as you saw, the city staff, last it was presented to the city council, recommended increasing property taxes to cover down on the deficit. And as was also previously shared by the city manager, our bond capacity is going to be less than $600 million, which is less than what it was in 2022. So if you wanted to increase the bond capacity there for streets and sidewalks and parks, facilities, et cetera, you would have to raise property taxes to do that. So it remains to be seen what would actually happen as a result of how voters voted. I think what's important, though, is that city taxpayers have the opportunity to weigh in, right? And this is why it's important. One of the key financing aspects of the deal is the Hemisphere TERS. And a TERS, right, what that essentially does is you draw a little circle around an area, and in that area, you allow the property taxes that are contributed to the general fund to remain flat. And any increase in the property tax value, you allow to remain in that area for other investments. In this instance, it would go toward financing the arena. I think, though, that when you look at what we're being challenged with today, what are we challenged with today? Flat property tax. Right? Flat sales tax, if not decreasing sales tax. So you really need to look at some kind of flexible option, right? There's nothing really saying that 100% of that increment in the Hemisphere TERS has to go to the arena. There's nothing that says that has to be the case. You could do some kind of 80-20, 70-30, right? Again, it's property tax, sales tax, and CPS revenue that are the main contributors to the general fund. And now we've got CPS under threat by the governor. So we really have to be thoughtful about how we're shoring ourselves up in the long term.
So to that point about CPS Energy, the governor's saying privatize San Antonio and Austin's electricity markets because we have municipally owned energy providers. It's very weak on the details, and the details that he did provide, I think, were suspect, saying that San Antonio's energy is more expensive than Houston's energy.
It's not. The numbers do not show that. Look, the governor's on the campaign trail. Right. Because the numbers themselves show that San Antonio energy utility payers, right, rate payers, they pay less than any other major city in the state for electricity and for gas. That's a fact. And so not only that, I think I'm really proud of the fact that we have an array of affordability programs. This idea that you kind of breaking up CPS would help to bring down costs. The numbers just don't bear that out. Go look at what they pay in Houston. Go look at what they pay in other communities. And you tell me the last time a private company passed on any savings to a customer. Please show me that example. The numbers are very clear. San Antonio tax rate payers, right, CPS rate payers pay the lowest in terms of electricity and gas.
And the revenue, 14% of the revenue that CPS Energy collects ends up in the San Antonio General Fund.
That's correct, yeah.
He called it a slush. Well, the governor's office called it a slush fund. Those dollars are used to pay for firefighters and police officers and parks and libraries. But instead of that money, he wants to go to private equity. Where does he want that money to go?
Well, to your point, it's not real deep on details. I think what is clear, though, would be the disastrous impact on our city's general fund.
And so are you working with the Legislative Caucus of San Antonio? Democrats and Republicans, are they coming together and saying we're going to fight this? What's happening?
Well, I think this is something that, of course, we as a city, as a Bexar County delegation, need to elevate and speak about in terms of how this would impact the city's ability just to function. Right. Given, again, just the June contribution was just shy of $38 million. Where else do you kind of make that up? And again, this is not a slush fund. This pays for police officers and senior centers and all the things that really kind of make our city run. So I think, you know, we'll continue to articulate why the model works and frankly also works for the state. CPS does a lot of transmission work for the statewide system, which contributes to reliability and transmission. So not only are we being, I think, judicious with the resources that we have, we're also a significant partner infrastructure-wise for the state.
Let's go to Mike on the phones. And Mike, you're on the source with the mayor.
Okay. First question is, why another vote now? Wasn't it already approved? Wasn't it like 52 or 53% that already approved the Spurs arena?
Okay. Yes. And we had another question, or is that it?
Yeah. Another question is what's, and the mayor's already kind of alluded to this somewhat, so she might have already answered some of the question. What's your position on Abbott's talk about breaking up the CPS Energy City's golden goose? Goose that laid the golden egg for the city. You think there's a budget shortfall right now? What are the plans if that happens? I mean, you mentioned there $38 million was just short of $38 million in June, and the city gets 14% of the TPS revenue. So what are the plans if that goes away, and who's in control of where this goes? Do SA and surrounding communities who are CPS customers get to vote on this, or is it the governor that, in my opinion, again, it's my opinion, he needs to go. He's just not got our residents in the right frame of mind. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Most of my questions right there. So,
all right, Mike, thank you for calling and appreciate your input there. So, Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, really quickly, why vote now? Why do we need if narrowly passed 52%? I think even shorter than that. So his question on that, why?
City taxpayers deserve an opportunity to vote on the city's $489 million contribution. Last November was about the county's $311 million contribution. So I think it's only fair that city taxpayers weigh in on the city's $489 million contribution. To the question of, you know, what happens if the governor is able to fulfill the threat of going after CPS, the shorter answer is I don't know. I don't know how you make up $38 million to a general fund.
All right. And so earlier we had Councilmember Galvan on. He was talking about a moratorium that he would like to see on data centers in the city of San Antonio. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
Yes, of course. I mean, he and I talked extensively about what more can be done. Of course, you know, he's seeing a lot of this on his side of town, and I think it is important. I've shared this. This is where I do appreciate the governor's leaning forward in terms of his recent pivot on data centers, and asking certainly for more transparency. I know the audit that he's called for is now mandated because the voluntary request for information. It sounds like from data centers, he got all of a 20% response rate. So I do support making sure that we are leaning forward and being as aggressive as we can be on a closed loop system, for example, making sure that folks are required to use recycled water, those kinds of things. And I think really understanding what's in the realm of possible to as we are learning more about what's going to be possible in the state ledge session, while also leaning forward with what we can do locally.
And let's get Chris on the air. Chris, we've got about 2 minutes here, so just get to the point, and we'll get you on the air. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you, Mayor Jones. I want to make clear that I oppose the use of public funding for the new arena, and I believe that voters should have been given a direct vote on the city's contribution last year. My concern today is about good government and consistency in the decision-making process. At what point must government respect decisions that have already been made and provide certainty to the public rather than continuing to reopen issues that have already been decided by the council and also the voters in the last November election? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chris. And Mary, we've got about a minute here.
Well, we're not reopening anything. We don't even have a final term sheet. The term sheet that we have is non-binding. We don't have any idea of what that proposed development looks like. And again, last November was about the county's contribution. This November, I would argue, needs to be about the city's $489 million contribution. So we are absolutely respecting what folks decided in last November. And now I think we need to give city voters, city taxpayers, also the opportunity to formally be heard at the ballot box on this generational investment.
And if it gets through council, it goes on to the November 3rd ballot, something that voters will be looking for.
Please. And if folks have ideas and thoughts on why we should not let people, city taxpayers, vote on their $489 million contribution, I'd welcome hearing those. I haven't heard a good reason yet.
Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, thank you so much for coming in the studio, taking the calls. Appreciate it. Thank you. That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.